6, is, I'm going to preach on first, we limit God when we don't trust Him. The Bible said here, and Mark chapter 6 and verse number 5. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. It said, but he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. You know what it said there, verse 5? It said he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. If they had believed, God would have done great things. Now, I don't mean to try to sound like a TV preacher tonight, people, but I'm telling you that if we believed God more, God would do more. If we believed God would, most churches tonight have settled into a rut. Most churches tonight have settled down into a form where we don't really even expect God to do anything anymore. We figure, well, we'll go to church Sunday morning. The choir sing a couple. He'll preach a sermon. I've heard him say something like that before. And we'll go home. We don't expect, if we believed God, there's no telling what God might do. It said that he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. In other words, they limited what God done in their community by their own unbelief. Now, there's no doubt about that in our mind. There's no doubt in my mind tonight. All the mighty works you hear of on the mission field. As a matter of fact, they say that most mighty works and miracles that happen nowadays do happen on the mission field. Because in other countries they believe God more than we believe God here in the United States. Doubt, unbelief destroyed the world in Noah's day. One man's faith, Noah, saved the whole human race. God always, are you listening? God always gives His best to them that leave the choice with Him. God always gives His best to them that leave the choice with Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. All things are possible to him that what? Believe it. Does it say all things are possible to him that weareth a tie? No. Does it say all things are possible to him that goes to Sunday school? No. Does it say all things are possible to him that gives out a tract? No. It said all things are possible to him that believeth. That believeth. You know what pleases God? When we trust Him. When we trust Him. It pleases the Lord when we trust Him. Amen. We limit God when we don't trust Him. You know David over there, when he was fighting that giant, David was up against insurmountable odds. That giant could represent your bills. That giant could represent your sickness. That giant could represent your family trouble. That giant could represent your financial. Listen, David was up against that giant. And you know what David did? He didn't go and say, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. God's let us down. And I believe the Lord all this time. No, sir. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing. You come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose armies thou hast defied. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I've had to do that before. Sometimes I've done it, sometimes I've failed. But I tell you what, every time I've went against a mountain in the Lord's power and trusting Him, He always delivered me. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know how bad it is. I know it seems like sometimes it's all uphill. I know sometimes it seems like you're trying to dig out a mountain with a little tiny shovel. I'll tell you one thing, bless your heart, if you'll trust Him, trust Him, trust Him, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We limit God when we don't trust Him. We limit Him when we don't trust Him. We shut the doors against Him. I had an old friend, preacher, way up in the mountains of Virginia, near Marion, Virginia. There's a Marion, Virginia. And I used to preach revivals up there. And there's an old preacher up there. And this old preacher had a reputation. Preachers have a reputation of praying for certain things. This preacher had a reputation for praying for people to have babies. And anytime there was a couple in the church that wanted to have a baby real, real bad, and they couldn't have one, they would go see this old preacher, and he'd take them to the altar, and he'd pray for them. And I'll guarantee you, brother, next time you've seen them, that she'd be having, getting ready to have a baby. She'd be expecting. That's what when mom and them was growing up, they wouldn't even say pregnant in public. That's foul language. They would say she's expecting. And you didn't say expecting what? You knew what she's expecting. And she'd be expecting. And boy, she'd be really expecting after a while. And you know what? And I heard about that. And I preached up there. And I thought, well, I wonder if I can do that. And we went to camp and we went to another place. And I remember this couple. They said, Brother Danny, I want you to pray for us to have a baby. They said, we've been married 4 or 5 years. They said, we've been trying to have a baby and trying to have a baby and trying to have a baby. And they said, you know what people say? They say, why does God give people babies that won't even take care of them? And here I want one so bad and I can't have one. And I said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get down here and pray. And we went to the altar at camp. And I said, now, Lord, you're able to give this woman a baby. I don't know why anybody would want something like that. No, I didn't say that. I said, Lord, you're able to do what needs to be done. I said, God, give this woman a baby. And I'm telling you, the next year at camp, I believe it was the next time I seen them, they come up, there it was, little thing. And they said, guess what? He's 3 months old now. You prayed, and she got pregnant the next day or whatever. Soon we went home. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. I believe, listen, you know what we got to do? We got to learn how to trust the Lord. Anybody? Now, I haven't had to pray that prayer in here. Lord, have mercy. I've been praying, Lord, get them out. Don't have them no more. They're taking over. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to tell you what. Hallelujah. Listen, brother. We limit God when we don't trust Him. We limit God when we don't trust Him. God Almighty made this world. God Almighty made the planets and the stars. And He saved us. And He's our Father. He can work in your life and in your situation. Don't just sit back and say, well, things ain't never going to get no better for me. It's hopeless. I've had it. My life is doomed for misery. It's meant for me to be like. Let me tell you something. You grab a hold of the horns of the halter and say, Lord, I'll not give up until you bless my life. And hang on, brother. God will bless you. I got a friend of mine that wants to get married real, 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 real bad. And he falls in love with every woman that's beautiful. The only problem is, he ain't beautiful. And I told him many, many times. I said, brother, he said, I want to get married. I said, the Lord give you a wife if you'll pray for one. Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Sometimes. And that's what that means. And brother, listen, I said, brother, you pray. Now, Jeremy and Michelle's not here, but my deacons right here are here, and they're listening to every word I say. So in case I get off doctrinally or something like that, they'll make sure they straighten me out. Ain't that right, deacons? Say amen right there, deacons. Deacons. All right, deacons, listen. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, about my buddy. And she's the only one listening. But anyway, I said, brother, pray. Pray the Lord will send you the right woman. Pray the Lord will send her. The only problem is, he's like Billy Kelly. Billy Kelly said, he went out and told this woman, he said, you're ugly or something like that. And she said, well, you ain't Mr. America. He said, no, I ain't, but that doesn't keep me from wanting to marry Miss America. That's the way most men are. They ain't Mr. America, but they want to marry Miss America. Ain't that the way it is? And boy, I'll tell you something, brother. I told him, I said, brother, pray. Brother, pray. Brother, pray. And I said, the other thing you got to remember is you have to stay in your league. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, you can't just walk up to a movie star in Hollywood and say, will you marry me? I mean, look, I can play basketball, but I ain't going to get out there with Kevin Durant and Michael Jordan. And I mean, I would. I'd try it, but I know I can't compete with them. I know my league. I know my limits, you know. And that's what you got to do. And you got to say, dear Lord, help me. I never forget hearing Jack Hiles tell that story one time. It's not in the message, but I relate to it. He said, when he went to Bible college, he said there was this boy in Bible college, and he said, they come out, I'm not making fun of nobody, but the boy couldn't talk plain. He really could not talk plain at all. And I'm not being ugly when I say that. He said, all the boys in his college, Bible college, just a bunch of young preachers, and there ain't a whole lot of girls at Bible college. Most, it'd be like 80% boys and 20% girls. And he said, the campus beauty queen, prettiest girl on the campus, came walking by, like this right here. And he said, oh, him and all the other young preachers went, wow. And they were smitten with her beauty. You know, just pow, hit them like that. And he said, that boy spoke up, and he said, I'm going to marry her. And they laughed and laughed. Said, man, she wouldn't give you time of day. She wouldn't, that girl wouldn't speak to you. That girl, there ain't no way she'd marry you. And he said, you know what? He said, that boy went out home and he got in front of the mirror. He said, he got in front of the mirror and he said, he worked and he worked and he cleaned himself up and he shined his shoes and he combed his hair and brushed his teeth. And brother, he took bath and he said, he stood in front of that mirror. He said, boy, May I have a date with thee. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. May I have a date with you. May I have a date with you. May I have a date. It took him weeks, but he finally got her down pat. May I have a date with you. That's the only thing he could say, right? Everything else was messed up. I mean, he worked his fool head off wanting to get a date with that girl. And buddy, he said, I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry her, and I'm going to be a preacher. And I'm going to pastor a church. And me and her are going to pastor a church, and she's going to be my wife. And they lied. Hey, you crazy thing. She said, that girl wouldn't look at you twice. And so one day the day come, he was going to ask her out. She said they was all, he said him and all the other preachers hid in the bushes here because they wanted to see what happened. She came out of the class. They always knew when she was going to come walking in that sidewalk. He said he jumped out right in front of her, stopped and said like this, and she stopped holding her books, and he said, may I have a date with you? And she said, Joe, how did you learn how to say that? He said, I've been practicing. She said, you're kidding. You've been practicing that? He said, I've been working for week and week. May I have a date with you? She said, I am amazed at you, Joe. How did you learn that? He said, I've been working so hard at me with somebody before I ever would have to do that. She said, you did that to impress me? He said, yeah. May I have a date with you? And she said, anybody that worked that hard for me deserves a date. And he said, they walked off arm in arm while we fainted in the bushes over here. He said, we passed out. He got the beauty queen. And he said, today, that man is married to the college campus beauty queen and is pastoring a church. Amen. I mean, you know what? He just said, I want this, and by the grace of God, I'm going to claim it. Brother, he did it. Amen. We limit God when we don't trust Him. We limit God when we don't trust Him. Amen. That's right. Well, number two, we limit God when we don't pray to Him. I can show you in the Bible where people limited God because they didn't pray. You want to write it down? James chapter 4 and verse 2 said, we have not because we ask not. Amen? We have not because we ask not. There's a lot of times God would do stuff for us, but we are too lazy or too backslid or too unbelieving to get in the prayer closet and stay until He hears our prayer. We have not because we ask not. Let me tell you something. Are you a child of God? Are you saved here tonight? Is there something you really need in your life? You get in your prayer closet and you stay there about an hour every day for about 6 months. And I'll guarantee you, God may not give you exactly what you want the way you want, but I'll guarantee you one thing, He'll move and work in your life. God, His ear is open to the cry of His children. Shall not God avenge His elect, which cry unto Him day and night? God will hear. Listen, I'm not going to let my girl, when my girls were growing up, I mean, if they asked me for something, I'd ignore them. And if they asked me again, I'd ignore them. But if they kept on, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please. It's hard to ignore your kids when they keep on and on and on. It really, especially girls. I mean, you can tell them, oh, get out of here. You'll be all right. But when them little girls start saying, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please. You know what I used to do? I used to tell my girls when they were little, especially Carrie. I said, Carrie, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to make it up to you. Everything you have to suffer because of our situation, I'm going to make it up to you. Everything you have to go through, I'll make sure that y'all got your compensated. You know, I wouldn't take them to public swimming pools and stuff like that because I wanted to try to keep them decent and everything. And me and the guys got up there, my cousin dug a hole. I went and bought a kit and everybody, we all pitched in and put in a swimming pool. I mean, it's a homemade rigged job. And boy, I'll tell you something, you know what I did? I thought, if I'm going to take away something from them, I'm going to give them something else. They're my kids. I love my kids. I want to give them everything I can. I want to keep them away from the world. I don't want to just turn them loose and let the world have them. And God's like that about me and you. If we continually, Lord, will you help me? 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 Listen, you keep that up long enough and God will hear in heaven. He'll do something about your situation. Get people praying for you. Call everybody you know, tell them pray. Call everybody you know that can get a hold of God and say pray. Send them text. Put it on Tweety, whatever you do. Nosebook, everything. Say, pray, pray, everybody pray. And you watch God move. We limit God when we don't pray to Him. Every great revival I've ever been a part of or heard of was caused by prayer. It wasn't caused by a famous preacher. It wasn't caused by a singing group. It's caused by people praying. Amen? That's right, brother. That's right. Thousands and thousands and tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars are wasted every week in this country by churches having revivals, flying in preachers and paying plane tickets and motel bills and restaurant bills by the tens of thousands of dollars, and the meeting don't do the church a bit of good, and it's just as worse off, bad off as it was before they started. It's just a big waste if people don't pray. It's a big waste. We limit God when we don't pray to Him. Do you honestly think God is pleased with the shape churches are in tonight? You know He wants to do more for us than this. You know God wants it. It's not His fault. It's ours. I'd hate to get to heaven. I would hate to get to heaven and the Lord said, I was going to do this and I was going to do that and I would have done the other if you'd have just prayed for it. You think, I thought it was supposed to be like that, Lord. And the Lord said, no, I would have done this or that. But you didn't pray. We limit God when we don't pray to Him. Finally, let me say this and I'm through. We limit God when we sin against Him. That's the three ways you can limit God. You limit God when you don't trust Him. You limit God when you don't pray to Him. And you limit God when you sin against Him. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but our iniquities have separated between us and God. There's no doubt in my mind, sin in the life of a Christian limits God's work in our lives. Oh, Lord, I tell you something tonight. I'm going to say a minute ago. Ladies and gentlemen, we limit God. We limit God. We shouldn't be happy. I mean, God's blessed us. God's blessed our church. I'm thankful for every blessing on our life. I'm not being unthankful tonight, but we could have so much more. We could see so much more if we pray and trust Him and get the sin out of our own lives and out of our heart. If I want God to work in my heart, I have to confess and turn from every known sin in my life. I cannot keep pet sin in my life and expect God's blessing to be on me in the fullest. Now I know you can sin and God will still feed you. You can sin and God will still save you. I mean, you know, as far as being saved and stuff. But I'm telling you something, brother. You can't sin deliberately and expect the full blessing of God on your life like He wants to bless you. We limit God. We limit God when we sin against Him. We limit God when we deliberately live and wallow in sin. We don't get nothing because we don't expect nothing. There's no telling what the Lord would have done, brother, if we'd asked Him. If we had asked for this, brother, He said, you have not because you ask not. Ladies and gentlemen, let's think about this. Let's pray, God, fill up our church this fall. Fill it full. All you bus workers tonight, let's get down and let's pray. Let's get down and pray this week. I'll go into an agreement with all of our bus workers here tonight. I'll pray extra. I'll pray extra if you will. And we'll get down and say, dear God, one of our bus workers told me this morning, sent me a text, said several of our bus kids didn't get up. Some of them didn't went to another church. Some of them did that. You know why? Because we are in a spiritual war. It's a war. You don't get bus kids to come by promotion. You don't get bus kids to come just because we're having something exciting. There's nothing wrong with that. But brother, we've got to pray that the Holy Ghost will get a hold of their little hearts and put it in their hearts to want to come to church. I'm telling you, it's a battle. It's a battle. And every bus worker here tonight, let's don't be satisfied with 20. Let's don't be satisfied with 30. Let's say, I want my bus full. I want to see God do something. Let's not limit the Lord in what He can do. Some of you sitting here tonight, spare a couple of hours Saturday morning. Get with our bus workers and say, hey, I want to go with you Saturday. Take me to meet where these kids are. If you're backslidden out of the bus ministry, get back in the bus ministry. God don't call you to quit. God don't call you to go backwards. God don't call you to give up unless He's got something else for you to do. Amen. Let's pray this week. Amen. Let's pray this week. Get you a list of your bus kids and pray for every one of them. When we have sin in our life, His ear is not heavy. His hand's not shortened. You've heard me give this illustration before. A long time ago, I was coming home from somewhere, Alabama or somewhere, I was preaching down there, and I stopped at the store one night, pulled in, went in there to get something to drink, and the guy, I give this guy a track. And I said, here, the Lord loves you, do you know that? And he looked out there and saw my bumper stickers on my car. He said, wow. He said, how long you been doing this? I think I said 20 years, something like that. And he said, really? He said, most people don't do it that long. And you know what he meant? Here's what he meant. The only people that give out tracts and witness are people that just got saved. That's what the man meant. And ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I've been pastoring a long time. And you know who wants to do something for God in most churches? People that ain't been right with God long enough. Because you older ones that you done figured out you don't have to. And you say, I don't know. You done figured out how to slide by backslid and let the young converts do all the work. I'm telling you tonight, you'll limit God in your life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us here tonight got that same zeal as that we had the first year we were saved. And God, you remember when you wanted to be? You said, I want to be in the bus. I remember we had 18 people show up one night when we first met saying, I want to go on bus ride. We didn't have enough buses for that many people to go. And you know what happened? Little by little. I don't want to do that. And you just get into a rut and get backslid. And you limit God's working in your life. Let me tell you something. If you're healthy and you're able, and you're saved, and you ought to be doing something for God. Grab you a handful of tracts when you leave here tonight. I still do it. I don't know. I ain't always fired up as I ought to be. But anybody that knows me, ask any of my kids, ask anybody that knows me, see if I don't still witness about everywhere I go. I do. Brother, I do. I tell people everywhere. I've noticed in these convenience stores and stuff, especially when a lot of these people from... I don't know where they're from, but you can tell. It's one of them places. Iran, Iraq, somewhere. Two or three times I said, here, read this. It's about Jesus. One told me the other day, he said, why you tell me that? You know what he's saying? What he's saying is, are you judging me because of the color of my skin and because of my accent? Are you saying I'm wrong because I'm a Muslim? I said, you got it, son. You couldn't be more right if you tried. But I don't do this just because you're a Muslim or because your skin's brown or because you have real black hair. I do this to blonde-haired, green-eyed, blue-eyed sinners just like we do dark-colored skinners. Dark skinners. Them skinners are sinner skinners. But anyway, it don't make no difference what religion you are, what color you are. Everybody needs Jesus.
And I've had two of them say that. Say, why do you tell me that? Like, are you singling me out because I'm Muslim? Are you discriminating? That one the other day, I told you this morning. This guy, he was a weird looking guy. I give him a tract. I said, here, read this. He said, uh-uh. I said, here, read it. He said, I'm Buddhist. And I said, well, Buddhists should be open-minded. He said, Buddhists are open-minded. And I said, well, read it then. If you're so open-minded. He wouldn't read it. He ain't open-minded. Well, he's scared of it or something. It's just a little chick tract. Chick tract's more powerful than anything a Buddhist ever got a hold of. One chick tract's got more power in it than the whole religion of Buddhism. And I said, here, man, read it. I would read your junk. I didn't say junk. And I laughed at him. He got offended. I didn't mean to do it. I did it before I even thought. How silly. How silly. Well, little fat. He looked like a pregnant frog sitting in them Chinese restaurants. There he sits like this. And his big old eyes like that. I said, that's crazy. Jesus loved you. The Lord helped you. The Lord died for you. Witness, people. Witness to everybody you come in contact with. You don't ever know what the Lord might do. Amen. We limit God. We limit God. Let's get back in that bus ministry. Let's get back in there. Look, I know it's fun when we have a fall program and we have a big push and set goals and all that. But right in the middle of the summer, you can see God do something on that bus and in that Sunday school class if we'll just pray and trust the Lord. We limit Him. I'll tell you something. I'm going to say this and I'm through. It was a 2-week, 14-day walk from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land. And it took them people 40 years to get there. They went around and around and around and around and around and around. 40 years. And they could have been there in 2 weeks. We limit God. I know Christians that's wandering around right now and ain't a bit better spiritually than they was 15, 20 years ago. Just walking around in circles doing the same thing every week. Every week, every week, when they could have went right on into Canaan, brother, in 2 weeks' time. We limit God. Let's stand by our head for prayer.